welcome. We're honored to be here. Thank you for having us today. And before we dive into what we're going to share, and it's really sharing, it's not really a message. We just want to share some things from our heart. But let me tell you just a little bit about who we are. We've been married 46 and a half years. Yes, that does amount for some applause, right? And I often say, we often say, that at least 36 of them were good, right? Thankfully, the bad 10 ones weren't all together, but the Lord has been faithful and has sustained us through our entire marriage. We really started off marriage and ministry, volunteer, as being youth group pastors to actually a church in Michigan that this young man over here, his parents, well, he was there too, but he was only 2 years old. We started off there volunteer. We've been in several different church staffs. Lee wins in counseling, Christian counseling for 18 years. And in 2010, we got involved with Restoring the Foundations ministry. James Gall was influential in that and encouraging us to go to this conference that he was doing. And Restoring the Foundations was one of the ministries that was presenting. And the Lord just really connected our hearts with the ministry. We loved it from the fact that not only was it bringing healing to people, but it was also equipping them and empowering them to be able to walk in freedom on a continual basis. We all know that there's more people that need help, which is everyone in this room, including all of the people you're involved with, right? Than there's ever one or two or three ministries that can meet the need. I mean, we need to equip the body so that the body knows how to get free and stay free. Would you agree with that? Amen. So you're not here by accident today. What we're going to share is either for you or for somebody you know. And it may not be somebody that you know today or it doesn't come to mind today, but I guarantee you that at some point you're going to remember this conversation that we're going to have. So when we began to be involved with RTF in 2010, we were just learning how to help others because, frankly, we didn't think we needed it. No pride or anything there, right? But actually, we'd been through a number of different healing ministries, and we thought that we had been taking care of our stuff. But what we didn't realize is that we had never gotten to the root of things and that there'd been many things that had been really just under the rug, okay? We're going to share a little bit about that journey with you today. But in 2015, we had the joy and the privilege of receiving the mantle of leadership from Restoring the Foundations, and we now oversee the international ministry. We have ministers in 120 nations, and our goal is really to train people to do the ministry. Now, we minister ourselves, but we want to train more people to do the ministry so that more people can receive healing. And so we regularly do training events locally as well as in places around the world. And you can go to our website, which is restoringthefoundations.org, and you can find different training events. You can find different ministers that are located worldwide. So we just want to encourage you that there is help. And one of the places that help is so needed is with our leaders today. And so yeah, I don't need to say anything more about that.
So I want to start by telling you a story about a guy named Gary. And obviously Gary's a made-up name, but you can relate to Gary. When Gary got saved, he was like 5 or 6 years old. And from that moment on, all he wanted to do was minister Jesus to other people. And so even in high school, Gary started a club for people to come and accept Jesus, and it was highly successful. He went to college, did the same thing. You know, he went to college to get an education, but he was really there to minister to other people. And so he started this group, and it just grew incredibly. And when he graduated, the people in that group asked him if he would start another ministry for older people, for like non-college age people. And so Gary did that. And again, he was just gifted and talented. He was highly successful. People got saved. People got healed. People got set free. And the ministry grew to quite a large place. Then Gary had an affair. And in the process, he blew up his marriage. He blew up his ministry, and in the process, he wounded many of the people that he had brought into that ministry because of what he did. What we're going to talk about this morning is how to do self-care. As ministers, I don't care if you're paid or not paid, you need to do self-care so that we don't blow things up out of our own woundedness.
So unfortunately, we don't need to look any further than the headlines of the newspapers and our television shows to see the need for healing. And, you know, the events that we have seen affect the body of Christ have not affected only the families, but as Leah stated, they affect the church, they affect the victims. It goes far and beyond one life. And so often, as leaders, we're just focusing on the cleanup instead of the prevention. And it would be our goal to encourage you to focus on the prevention, the affairs, the abuse, the spiritual abuse, the financial abuse. All of the different things didn't start with that one thing. Most often, they started with a leader that was not attending to their own needs for healing. They started with a leader that was lonely. It started with a leader that was feeling overwhelmed, with a leader that didn't feel like they had all the answers, but they were supposed to. It started with a leader that didn't feel they could reach out for help, because if they did, somebody would know that they had a problem. It started with a leader who believed the lie that real Christians don't have problems. Right? All the time. That's the lie that the enemy has told the church, that you, if you go for help, then you're somehow less than. And in reality, if you go for help, you are showing that you have the courage to reach out and get the help that you need. And if you're willing to go and get the help at the beginning of your place of burnout, the beginning of your place of overwhelmed, at the beginning of your place of, I just don't feel like doing this ministry anymore, but I have to get up on Sundays and preach. You've all been there. You've all experienced that. Whether you're a ministry leader, a church leader, organizational leader, you have experienced those times of feeling like, what have I gotten myself into? You know, so many times we focus on the leaders, and I don't want to only focus on the leaders, because that leaves out the victims. The impact on the victims is profound and lasting. They often carry the scars of unresolved abuse and trauma for years, sometimes decades. If they do not receive the necessary freedom and healing, the families of the pastors, the leaders that are connected with them are also affected. The congregation, the staff, the neighbors, and ultimately the whole body of Christ. Everyone is involved in some level. Even when there's church situations, when there's fallen leader situations, where you don't even know the people personally, you get the fallout because of how it affects our testimony to the world. It's affecting our testimony to the world. You know, I was listening recently to a YouTube report about a church situation where there had been multiple leaders within that one organization that fell. And I'm not going to name the names. You guys can figure it out if you want to. If I did, you would know exactly what organization I'm talking about. But you know, the one that was exposed is not where the root started. The root started two generations before that leader, where there had been sexual sin that had been covered up in the leadership because they didn't want the fallout, right? They didn't want to deal with it, with that, you know, the first generation. And so the second generation covered it up, and then that generation fell, and then the third generation fell, and they covered it up. You know, there's another church that we see and we have personal connection to that had some sexual sin in the foundation of the church as well. And there have been multiple different sexual things that have taken place within that church. The church that was once very influential and yet now has lost that influence. You know, the first church that I was talking about impacted thousands upon thousands of people that, according to this report I was listening to, said that thousands of those parishioners are now going nowhere because of the disillusionment and the disappointment and the betrayal that they felt because their leaders were not dealing with their own stuff. This is a cancer in the body of Christ. And we need to address the cancer before it grows anymore.
You know, sometimes the structures that we're involved in actually limit our vulnerability. Because if we go to our leadership or tell them about it, there could be ramifications. I would love to see that change in the body of Christ, to recognize that every one of us are human. Every one of us are going to struggle with things that the enemy throws at us. That's not the problem. The problem is when we don't deal with them, and then they cause bigger things. You know, when Cindy and I left that church in Michigan and went to seminary, you know, I was in seminary. I was on staff at a new church that was growing like crazy in Dallas, Texas. I was a father of a 1 and a 3-year-old, and I was the husband of a part-time crazy woman that she was normal most of the time, but there were those seasons that it was just, you know. So all of that's going on, and I didn't know how to do self-care. I didn't know how to take care of myself, and so I just kept plowing ahead, doing what I had to do to get through, you know, writing papers for seminary and taking exams and studying till crazy hours, and then trying to do all the youth work at the church. And, you know, we were part-time, which only means your part-time pay. It does not mean your part-time time, because you had to put in all the effort for half the pay.
And it was a twofer.
It was, yes. They got both of us for the same price part-time. So during those years, because I did not know how to do self-care, one of my old sinful patterns began creeping up. I had a pornography issue that was a way of escaping from whatever I was feeling in life that I didn't like, and that started to come back. And I went to one of the older ministers on our staff, and I said, "Look, man, I'm struggling. Can you know? I need your help." And he prayed with me some, and then he said, "We need to take this to the senior pastor." And so we did. And because it involved Cindy, we wanted to get her and wanted her to be a part of that meeting. So she and I, this other older minister, met with the senior pastor, and I explained my situation. And you know, it never included anybody in my youth group. It wasn't an issue like that. It was just I'd sneak away in pornography to cover some of the pain and stuff that I was feeling. The first question that he asked me, "Who else knows about this?" And he prayed with us, and you know, but that was the last that issue was talked about, was a little prayer. And I'm not putting prayer down. I'm just saying that's not what I needed. And that's not what Cindy needed.
So I was sitting in the room and this discussion is going on, and you wouldn't have even known I was there. There was never any questions about, "Cindy, how are you doing? How is this affecting your life? Can we provide some support for you? Can we help you get some ministry for either one of us? And so for decades, I believed the lie that his pornography was my problem, that it was my fault, that if I did something better, different, whatever, that he wouldn't have that problem. And actually, I hate to say it, but there are some Christian books that will tell you that. That if you just have sex more often with your spouse, that they won't have that issue. And that is a lie. Yeah. But our point about this is that that church, although growing by leaps and bounds, yeah. I mean, it grew to 2,000 people within the first 2 years, had no plan to help their staff deal with anything before or after. And so what happened? We went on. We buried it. I forgave as best as I knew how to do, but we went on. Did the problem go away? No. It was buried for a while, but then periodically it would pop back up. And you know, we're talking today about sexual sin, but this is not limited to sexual sin. This is not at all. It's whatever the issue is. You know, whatever the issue that is coming forth in a person's life, it's just that the sexual sin is what gets the most public awareness and obviously has been brought forth in the news media in, you know, untold ways. I mean, I did a quick search online and they listed, I think it was 8 different major leaders that had fallen in the last 2 years. And there were 5 that I could have added to that list that weren't even on there. That I knew about, right? Those are just the big names. Those are just the ones we hear about. Those aren't the ones that are happening behind the scenes. It is rampant in our society. And so one of the things that, you know, we've been in RTF ministry now since 2010, and we've ministered to hundreds of people with sexual issues. More with them than without them, various degrees, you know, some serious, some minor, whatever. I don't know how any of them are minor, but there's, you know, whatever. I can say this with confidence. 100% of the time, one of two things has happened. Either they have a parent, a grandparent, an uncle, somebody in their family line that has had a sexual issue, or they themselves have experienced sexual abuse as a child, 100% of the time. There has never been a person that we have ministered to that didn't have one of those two scenarios. And, you know, we have absolutely nothing against counseling. And counseling has a major place in helping people to learn different things. And we often recommend counseling after people go through Restoring the Foundation's ministry. But you have to get to the root of the problem. And you cannot get to the root of the problem through counseling. Not the root when it's a spiritual root. You have to deal with the spiritual root. And oftentimes that's a generational issue that is taking place. It's belief systems that people have developed, just like me, thinking that his problem was my fault. Well, that was not true. Where did I get that? I got it from somewhere. I didn't just dream it up. You know, so for the victims, we need to have a pathway for victims to receive help and not discourage them, not dismiss them. If someone comes to you as a pastor or a leader and says they have been abused in some way, whether it's sexual abuse, spiritual abuse, whatever it is, I would encourage you to pay attention and not dismiss it. Because what benefit do they have in coming forward? Every once in a while, there's somebody that wants attention. But I would say that's on a limited scale. Because how many people want that kind of negative attention? Right. I don't know too many. But we need to have a pathway for our leaders to get healed. Because think of it, if our leaders are receiving healing, there's not going to be the victims. We won't be having to talk about the victims, at least not from our leadership. And that is just grievous to us when we see that leaders are falling time and time and time again because they don't feel that they had the opportunity or the willingness or the ability to be able to receive healing because it wasn't made safe for them to be able to do that.
You know, what if leaders would go on an annual basis and get a checkup from somebody? I know I have to do that with my heart doctor. Even though I feel great and everything's fine, I have to go sit in his office and talk to him, right? What if we did that spiritually? What if we just, as leaders, right, made that an environment where people can go, oh, well, John goes, right? John was just doing some inner healing yesterday, right? You were talking about?
Yeah, that's necessary, and then just do it.
You just right. Got to do it. So our encouragement today is deal with your issues when they're small. You know, a couple years ago, we went on a ministry trip in the middle of July. And when we came home, my front garden looked like a jungle, right? These weeds had just, they were, you know, 5 feet tall or whatever. It was terrible. It was horrible. When did the problem start? The problem started because I didn't maintain the garden before we left, right? The weeds were there, and if I would have picked them and killed them when they were little, they wouldn't have grown into the big jungle. And that's what happens sometimes with our issues. And it's not just sexual stuff. That's an easy one to pick on because if you read some statistics, people in ministry have as high or higher sexual struggle as other people. I think it's because we're under attack all the time. We have an enemy who knows, like David, how to get to us and uses whatever tactic that he can. But what if we're dealing with things like fear? Fear and anxiety as a leader is going to limit your performance, right? You don't have to live with that. Fear can be broken off. It can be dealt with. There's things that you're probably believing, we call them ungodly beliefs, that when those change, life changes. It's just amazing what happens. What if it's stuff like shame? Shame is a huge problem. According to Brené Brown, if you all know who she is, she has a wonderful teaching on shame. She says one of the messages that shame tells people is, who are you to do anything great? Right? And that'll keep us from, limit us. You know, what if it's other things? What if it's a physical attack that the enemy comes after us and we can break that off and stop those infirmities, stop those diseases, stop. So it's not just in the sexual realm, it's anywhere. But the problem is a lot of us in the body of Christ feel like we have to hide our stuff. I can't tell Jerry that I'm struggling with insecurity. He's going to think less of me. Right? But that's what we do. We walk around and put on a face. I'm fine. I'm good. When really we're not. And if we could give people a place to go where they could get some healing. You know, my friend Denise is an amazing minister. If you guys need somebody that can help you get to some of the roots of things, she's awesome at that. You know, if you're struggling with your identity, that's the lady right there. She teaches an identity course that will change your life. You've been there? Some of you have. It's awesome. So my point is, don't settle for this stuff, and it's just a little problem, because little problems don't stay little. It's like my weeds. Man, they, you know. So we got to deal with the little stuff.
So just a practical thing in regards to leadership is learning to establish healthy boundaries and saying no. You know, as pastors, you have pastoral, compassionate hearts. And I would venture to say that most of you got into being pastors. How many of them in the room, just raise the hand, are in pastoral leadership? Okay, all right. You got into being a pastor to help people. You got into ministry or pastorhood to teach and to preach. But what you often find is you're inundated with counseling and people's needs. And so often we put other people's needs before our needs.
Right.
You know, one of the pastors that we had early on that we were under his, we were a part of the leadership team at this church, and one of the things that he told us is he said, you know, you're going to have people that are going to call you up 1 o'clock in the morning, and they're going to be in crisis. Their marriage is on the rocks. They're going to crash and burn that night, and they need you to come over right then. He says their marriage problems did not start that day. And they're not going to be solved that day. You know, there was a, when we lived in another city, there was a situation where somebody called us up at 11:30 at night and wanted Lee to go over and help with their marriage crisis. And he says, you know, I can't do that right now, but I'd be happy to see you tomorrow in my office at 11 a.m. The guy got irate. What do you mean? I can't come in at 11 o'clock. I have to be at work tomorrow. So his work was more important than his marriage, and it was more important to interrupt our sleep than it was to get the picture. We have to learn to be able to say no and to have margin in our lives. We have to. You know, we have some guidelines for ourselves in scheduling ministry. When we do the intensive ministry that Jerry was talking about, it's intense. It's intense for the person going through it, and it's intense for us. It's 5 days in a row, and there's a lot of work that goes in on the outside of those hours that we're with the people that we're ministering to. So we try to not do those back-to-back, and we try to not have, like, an intensive training week the week before or after. You know, we need a little margin. And whenever we violate our own boundaries, we pay for it. Yeah. You know, several years ago, we had somebody that they called up, and they had been referred to us by a friend, and they were a very influential couple, and they needed help, and they needed it now, because the guy was getting ready to go on an international ministry trip, and they needed to address this issue before they went. So, we disregarded our own boundaries, and we saw them. They got a measure of healing. But the warfare for us was intense. It was maybe the highest amount of warfare that we had been in. And being in a state where we weren't at the top of our game physically because we were physically tired, it had a greater impact. You know, we have to recognize our own capacity and our own limitations of what we're able to do and to just be wise for our own selves. You know, some people have the mindset, well, if somebody calls me up and they need help, then I have to fill that need right now. And I can tell you, every time that we have stuck by our guidelines and we have said to people, we can't see you until 3 months from now, you know, and they balk at it. Oh, you know, what we find is in that 3 month period of time, God's at work. He is working on them, and when they come, they were more prepared to deal with their stuff than they would have been had we have seen them in their crisis moment. Because oftentimes when people are in crisis, that's what it is. It's a crisis, and they just want to get out of the crisis. The guy that calls and wants the ministry at 11:30 or 1 o'clock at night, he wants it right now because his wife has just threatened to leave him. He wasn't listening to her for the 10 years prior to that, right? So we need to have healthy boundaries and be willing to say no to people. For those of you guys that are married, I have an encouragement to you. Listen to your wife. If you're not married, you need to find somebody that has your back and that you can listen to in regards to certain situations. There was a situation in our pastoral life where, I'll just say the senior pastor and his wife were not getting along very well. We knew it. It was not a good scene. And the senior pastor's wife, the senior pastor's wife's father died. And instead of the senior pastor's wife wanting to ride to the funeral with her husband, she asked my husband to take her, which was weird in and of itself, right? And he has a very compassionate heart. And so I just looked at him and I said, that is not a good idea. I said, that is not a good idea. You have a woman who is in mourning because she was extremely close to her father. She is in crisis with her husband, and she wants you to take her to the funeral. There is something wrong with that. And he didn't do it, thankfully. Now, she was offended. She was offended that he didn't do it. But, you know, just picture for a minute how the enemy could have used that. You know, she's crying and she's leaning over and she's wanting, you know, comfort. It's just not a good scene. And Lee's going to talk about a couple of other situations.
You know, she would have been in trouble with an extremely attractive man taking her to.
That was back when he had hair.
You know, the physical boundaries of men and women have been breached way too often. And it's part of what causes these problems, where a minister will feel like, oh, I can minister to this woman by myself, you know, alone. And over time, when you minister to somebody, your heart connects to them. Or you minister with them. If a female is your ministry teammate, it becomes a very intimate kind of situation. In the ministry we're in now, men only minister with men, women only minister with women, or couples that are married can minister. And because of that,
to men or women. Couples that are married can minister to men or women.
Yeah, couples, they can minister to either gender, whether right. Sex, whatever the word is now, it's all confused.
Just two.
But that would be a place that we would encourage people is, if you're doing ministry, have somebody sit in with you. Yes. It's uncomfortable, and some people will balk at it. If they balk at it, let them go to somebody else.
Right?
Right? You have got to protect your ministry from any kind of accusation, you know, so that there's not even the threat or the what is the word? Anyways, accusation of you know, something happening. You know, we have talked to 40-ish or under, I can't remember, 35 to 40 ministers who've told us similar stories. So if this is something happening in the younger generation, us older ones need to really step up and help them. This one guy, we're and I won't tell you what the ministry is, but you would know the name. Mm-hmm. One of those famous, you know, well-known churches. And he said, yeah, when we travel, my assistant, PA, and I will often share a room together to save money. Now, we sleep with our clothes on, you know, and so there's nothing that goes on. But I'm like, my thoughts are you stupid? Or what? I mean, that is the most dangerous thing you can do. Let's say that nothing happens, nothing at all happens, but you're seen walking out of the hotel room with your assistant by somebody you ministered to at the conference you were in. Another guy, similar age, said, you know, people that I know, when they go on dates now, a lot of them will go home with the person they're dating and they'll sleep in the same bed with their clothes on. That's just become a lot more common. I'm old. That is not the school I was raised in. But if this stuff is going on, we need to teach disciple our younger people to have boundaries that will not allow them to make bad decisions. Because you're in the room together with a girl, and again, who knows? The enemy comes, just the natural hormones take over. So those are the situations that we need to be careful about, are those to have a safety net around us that doesn't allow those things to happen. And it becomes, at times, inconvenient, because it's like, I can't talk, you know, I can't minister with you until Cindy's available.
Yep. That's right. Yeah, well.
And if that's the case, go see Carl. You know, I'll
just...
Bless you. I think it's, you know, but there are people that do that. And if you can help them, share with them. That's very, very dangerous to do.
It's like, what is the value of your reputation?
It's his reputation.
And it's his reputation as well. Is it worth saving $150 on a hotel room to possibly ruin your reputation, the reputation of the church, the reputation of Jesus, all those things? I wanted to say to that young man, you have got to be kidding me. You know, I mean, it was unbelievable. And he was, we just do this. It was to save money. And yeah.
Yeah. So I'm good for right now.
Okay. Okay.
Jerry, when are we done? I'm sorry.
15? Okay. All right, so let's talk for a minute. Many of you in this room and those that are listening are pastors and leaders of ministries. And one of the things that takes up a ton of your time is when people are coming to you for counseling. And there's nothing wrong with you counseling if that's what you're called for, if that's what you're gifted at. But I just want to encourage you to recognize the value of maybe meeting with your people once, maybe twice, triage. You know, determining what's the best course of action for them. Do they need rehab? Do they need, you know, one-on-one counseling that's going to go on for months or possibly years? Do they need something in depth, like restoring the foundations, like HeartSync, like a number of other ministries that are available? And be willing to refer them on. Because on and on, counseling that goes on month after month, week after week, is exhausting, emotionally exhausting for you as a pastor. And that person has to see you every Sunday. Hopefully they see you every Sunday. And you have to see them, right? There is a great benefit for encouraging people to go outside of your church to receive ministry. And I'm not just advertising for the sake of what we do, but it's a reality. Because there are certain things that you're going to get to a level of honesty with your people, but they're not going to tell you their real dirt. They're not going to tell you some of the things that we've heard in the ministry room, because they know we're never going to see them again, possibly. You know, most likely we're never going to see them again. And so they tell us things they've never, this is a common thing we've heard. I've never told anyone this before. Never. And so there's a real benefit of them going outside the ministry. I want to encourage you, those of you that are leaders of, you know, several pastors and staff members, put it in their compensation package that you're going to pay for them to go for ministry once a year. If you don't pay for the whole thing, that's okay, because it's good for them to have some skin in the game. But at least making an opportunity for the at least partial payment, maybe half, you know, pay for half of their ministry cost so that they can go. And by them going, they're going to benefit you as well, because you're going to have a healthier staff. But you've got to practice what you preach, because it goes from the top down. And I'll just be real vulnerable. 2 weeks from now, I'm going for ministry myself. Why? I know how to do this stuff. But I recognize, you know what, I think I have some blind spots here. I think I have some issues that I need to deal with that I'm not getting to the root of. And over the past 3 years, we've been through a number of different things. And it's like, I need some ministry for myself. I want to be the best in my game. I want to finish well. And I don't want to leave things lay aside and not deal with them. So one of the things that you all know is the connection between spirit, soul, and body. And I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time here because of time, and I'm not an expert in exercise, but I will tell you that there is a benefit to us taking care of our bodies nutritionally, exercising, as well as the spiritual, because it's all connected. It's absolutely all connected. When your physical body is run down, when your physical body is not doing well, it is difficult spiritually. You know, in the past 3 years, I've had 5 surgeries. I can tell you that it was a wear and tear on my spirit man. Right? And so what did I need to do? I needed to get some people to be praying for me because there were days I didn't feel like I could pray for myself. I didn't feel like being in the Word. I didn't even feel like turning on worship music. Why? Because I didn't feel like it. When you're sick, when you're suffering with painful situations, whether it be physical or whether it be emotional, you need those around you that are going to lift you up and are going to pray for you. You need to be vulnerable and authentic enough to ask for help. And if you don't have personal intercessors, I would encourage you to get them. So there's lots of people that are much better at telling you how to eat healthy than I am, although we've been on a journey of that, and we continue to be on that journey. And the same thing with experts in exercise. But they're very important. There's chemical things that happen when you exercise that benefit you in every part of your body. And so, you know, the Bible talks about it in 1 Corinthians. What is our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. What are we doing to our bodies that might not be glorifying God? Because it says, honor God with your body. What are we doing? Well, not doing anything is a problem, right? Not doing anything is a problem because our bodies are fading away. And the older we get, the more consistent. It's just as important, if not more so, the older we get. And we do have limitations. You know, there's a reality to that. But it doesn't mean that we don't do anything.
My body has limitations. My mind does not. My mind is like, I can do anything. And then the body goes, what are you, nuts? So I want to close with this, an encouragement that you all know already, so I'm just reminding you. You know, I didn't realize that David was a pastor. It says, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. I didn't know he was a pastor, but he must have been. But then it says later in that passage that David strengthened himself in the Lord. And that is such an important thing. I don't know about you guys. I'm not putting anything on anyone. But it's so easy to get to take time in the Word for next week's sermon or for a Bible study I'm doing or for a book I'm writing or for when it's what we really need is to do that as well as spend time just for ourselves, strengthening ourselves in the Lord. David is such a great story because, you know, on the one hand, David as a teenage boy kills 9 foot, 450-pound Goliath, right? Fearless because I'm doing it because God is with me. And then he falls prey to a beautiful woman on the roof of a, you know, so he goes from one extreme to another, which I love David because I can relate to David. But the key is that David spent time strengthening himself in the Lord. And for us as ministers, as leaders, as whatever our position is, it's wonderful to study for the next sermon. You know, right now, RTF, we're doing these podcasts that I got to do one every, or we do one every week. And so it's always there. It's always something I got to keep studying. I got to keep, what am I going to do next week? What's the next? And so there's a pressure to perform, so to speak, to get the podcast done. And so it's really easy to study, to read the Word for the next podcast. You guys, you know, again, I don't preach full sermons. Mine are 15 minutes.
That's tough.
And it takes me 4 hours or, you know, sometimes 5 hours to do 15 minutes. I can't imagine preaching every week. But the key is that's not strengthening myself in the Lord. That's doing it for a purpose, for a job. To get a podcast done. But as we do that as ministers, we'll avoid some of these issues. So the takeaways that we want to encourage you guys with, I'm going to give one, and Cindy's probably got a couple, is as you lead, lead by getting your own healing. Because the more healed you are, the better you're going to be in the ministry you're doing, the better you're going to be as an encourager to the people you're involved with. And I'm trying not to say pastor because not everybody here is a pastor, but the more healed you are, you're going to be a better friend, a better husband, better wife, better father, mother.
Grandparent. Yep. So don't become the next headline. Don't settle for just managing your sin. You know, there's a difference between managing your sin and freedom.
Amen.
For decades, Lee was managing his sin because he didn't know any different. But once they experience freedom, you don't have to manage your sin anymore because the temptation isn't even there anymore. Don't allow unresolved trauma and pain to keep you from experiencing the abundant life that Christ died to give you. We all have levels of trauma. You can't be alive and not have some trauma. And there's a variety of different intensities of trauma, but all of us need healing from our trauma. So I would encourage you to do like Lee said, leaders go first. Leaders go first. Be transparent with whoever your level of influence is. Let them know that you're getting your own healing. Because you know what that does? It makes it okay for them to get their healing. When Jerry stands up here and says that he went and got ministry, it's like, oh, well, if Jerry did it, then that means it's okay for me to do it, right? It's not meaning that you're less than. It means that you're courageous. You're courageous enough to recognize that you have a need and willing to step out and do it. And I would that is one of the ways that you're going to encourage your staff and those people that you're around, your congregations, to receive their own healing. And I would encourage you as a leader to have a list of trusted ministers, trusted ministries that you can refer to. Don't try to take it all on yourself. There's too many people, even, I don't care what size of congregation that you have, whether it be small or large, there's too many people that need help, and you don't have the time of day to deal with them all. And if you try to, you're potentially going to end up as one of those headlines. So let us pray for you. Father God, I just thank you for each one that has gathered here today, either in person or online. And Lord, I thank you that regardless of what each of us has been through, Lord, that there's healing and there's freedom for each and every one of us. Lord, I pray that there would be no one within the sound of my voice that would settle for managing their sin or settling of just dealing with the trauma on their own. Because, Lord, we know how the enemy uses that in our lives to bring destruction. And there has been so much destruction in the body of Christ by those who would not admit their need for help. So, Lord, I ask that everyone here would admit their own need and would encourage others to go and receive the healing that they know is available to them. And we thank you, Jesus, in your name. Amen.